Well, we're going to begin with Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation, we just always believed and have always been taught that it just means to be born again. Saved. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And all that we have to worry about is that we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we've confessed that. And we believe that if we believe it in our hearts and confess with mouth, we'll be saved. But that is absolutely how anything you need to be saved from works. It's the same rule. So there's things that we need to be saved from every single day of our lives. And so your thinking has to do with your level of your saving. We think God is just absolutely in control of everything. We just walk around thinking, well, God's in control. Whatever happens, just happens. Come say, come saw. You know, well, I'm not worried about nothing. I'm just going to let God take care of it. I'm not going to have to think right. I don't have to talk right. I can think any old thing I want to think and talk any old way I want to talk. And it'll all be all work out the same. That is not what the Word says. And there's a lot of scriptures that can back up what I'm getting ready to share. So let's go back to this verse. If you notice the word if is a big word. You know, the little words sometimes really are big words. The word all is a little word, but it is huge in its meaning. The word if is a little word, but it's huge in its meaning. So the question is, what if is this talking about? Is it something God's going to have to do? It can't be something God's going to have to do. It's something we're going to have to do. This applies to every single person on planet Earth. Because the people who do not confess Jesus aren't going to go to heaven. They're not going to be saved. They're just not. So it's really important that we preach the gospel to these folks so they can believe in their heart also, like we have, and that they can then begin to confess that God raised him from the dead, and we believe it in our heart, and we've confessed that with our mouth, so they can go to heaven, they can be born again, they can be saved. But once they get saved, there's a whole lot more of God's word that needs to be believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth. And you just don't get the whole package. It all just doesn't get downloaded the minute you get born again. I would have loved it if God could have just put a flash drive in my brain and my heart and downloaded his word. Wow. But it didn't happen like that. He gave me the responsibility of the if. Mm-hmm. If I would confess with my mouth. See, it's my mouth. Mm-hmm. God doesn't own you. You own you. Mm-hmm. He only owns you to the degree you give yourself to him. I mean, ultimately, we're going to go back to God. You know, nobody can keep alive their own soul. You ultimately really do belong to God. But he's given you a free will, though. So I am responsible for what I confess with my mouth. And so your confession from your mouth can either save you or it can destroy you. That's kind of scary.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Because it works either positive or negative. That's why we have got to understand how powerful your words are. Your words are powerful. And Jesus talks about that a lot. There's a lot in the scriptures about that. This, I could print out 20 pages of confession and words. I know we all work, we all have families, and not a lot of time to study, but there was a time in my life when I didn't work and I had children, little children, I got to stay home. And I would spend a lot of time writing down all the scriptures that had to do with the tongue, the mouth, and confession. And I'm telling you, I had a notebook full of how powerful words are. And the Bible talks a lot about the mouth, the tongue, and words. So I know that it's very important. So we've got to learn how to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, the scripture says that God at sundry times in diverse manners spake unto the prophets and to the fathers through the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, who was being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person. So when it says if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we've got to get a bigger thought here, process going on, that you're not just saying, I believe Jesus is the Lord. Well, Jesus is the Word of God. And that's how God speaks to us today. God speaks to his people through Jesus. Every single word is Jesus. If you walk around confessing, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, you're confessing the Lord Jesus. If you walk around saying, my God supplies all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you're confessing the Lord Jesus. If you walk around speaking to mountains and command them to be removed because Jesus said I could do that, and you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you're speaking the Lord Jesus. So it's so simple that we overlook the fact that God gave us the right and the privilege to confess the Lord Jesus. He gave us that authority. He gave us the legal right to use his name, the legal right to use his word. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Yes. We've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ, yes, Jesus. I just try to keep things as simple as I can, and I don't like spouting off a lot of scriptures just to be spouting off scriptures.
Right.
But I like for it to sink in to our hearts to recognize we have been given an awesome, awesome gift from God. We've been given Jesus. Jesus is the gift. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's what the angel said about the birth of Jesus. Jesus came to give us freedom from the enemy, freedom from fear, freedom from depression, freedom from poverty, freedom from sickness and disease. He became the curse of the law so that we could walk in deliverance and healing and freedom and all that he provided. But it all begins with right thinking, right believing, and right talking. If you don't have your thinking right, you're not going to have your confession right. And if you don't have your confession right, you're not going to have your deliverance right. You'll be either held in bondage with your own mouth. You see, we give the devil way too much credit. We give the devil so much credit. And he is a foe. He is your enemy. He's my enemy. He is real. He's an evil genius. I could talk a long time about the devil. But I'd rather talk about what God has delivered us from and how to walk and stay in total victory. Do you know, number one thing is stay under the covering that God has provided for you? A lot of people out there, they know the devil's real. They don't go to church. They don't pray. And they think everything's going to be okay. They don't know that God has systematically ordered. There's order in the kingdom where God has ordained churches. He's ordained a church for everybody. He's ordained a covering for every believer. But it's up to them to get under the covering of that order, mm-hmm, of that covering, and then submit to the covering God has called them to be in and to be a blessing in that covering. Yeah. It's just so wonderful to have that revelation. Mm-hmm. But see, I had that revelation, thank God, early on as a baby Christian, and I knew I had to get under a covering because the devil was just like snapping at my heels. I had a vision dream very young in the Lord, and I dreamed that there was this huge rattlesnake chasing me. This thing was like a boa constrictor size, and it was literally standing up this tall over my head with a huge mouth and fangs, and I was running with all my might trying to get away from it, and it was lunging at me and was just snapping at my, I could hear it snapping at my back and my feet. And I was running as hard as I could run. And all of a sudden, I felt this power or strength come inside me. And I turned around and I faced that snake and I grabbed it by the neck. And I choked the living daylights out of it and threw it on the ground. And I woke up recognizing that God was going to show me how to have authority and have power over the devil. Amen. That I don't have to be afraid of another thing in this life.
Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful?
That's available? Because I lived in fear and torment every day of my life. Where I came from, you know, you walk lightly. especially when there's a loaded shotgun in every corner of the house. Especially when you're married to drug addicts and dope heads. And they coming in on LSD trips and crazy stuff. And then, you know, you don't know what's going to come in the mail. I lived every day afraid of the bill collectors, afraid of the phone calls, afraid of the mailbox. I would strike fear. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Like, oh, I know that's the bill collector.
I know.
I have to go to the mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
And fear every day.
Amen.
Tormented in your mind. I can remember never having a place of peace in my mind. I totally get why people take drugs. I totally get why people drink. Because I was there. But when I came out of that arena and that way of life, and I came into the kingdom way of life, God had to reprogram my thinking.
That's right.
I had to be totally changed in my thought mind, in my mind, my thoughts.
Amen.
But I still had all those emotions. I still had fear. I still had worry. I still had dread. Oh, God, I hate dread. I just hated to have to do things I don't want to do. To think right. And how to take control of my mind. So you ready to get in a few more verses here? Okay, so you've got what I'm trying to come from, that we've got to do the confessing, and it's our mouth that does the confession. And we got to believe right in our hearts, and we got to start, it all begins with thinking right. So let's look at Mark 11:23, the next verse I've got down here. And this is Jesus' words. You notice I left it in red. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Jesus is not a liar. He didn't lie when he said these words. And the whosoever in this verse is just as much the whosoever in John 3:16. If John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him, well, the whosoever is whosoever. Whosoever is the person who chooses to be the whosoever. And so just like the person who chooses to confess with their mouth is the same person whosoever can say to the mountain and believe in their heart. This is something to work toward. I wasn't there. When I first read that verse, do you think I had all that down? But it was something to work for.
That's right.
I want to get to that place because I like the thoughts of that. I like to be able to speak to mountains. And I knew he wasn't talking about a literal mountain. I mean, could possibly be. Jesus didn't lie. He did not exaggerate. He was very clear. Is he not clear? He said, whosoever, he just had spoken to a fig tree. But we do that. Why do we let things keep talking to us rather than us talking to them? Things talk to us. Problems talk to us. People talk to us. And we listen. You know what we got to do? We got to turn the tables on what's talking to us. And we got to talk the word. Because there's nothing bigger than the word of God. Start talking and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. You'll be delivered. You'll be saved. You're going to have to turn the tables on whatever's talking to your head and to your fears and to your worries and to your depressions. If there's somebody on your job that's causing you a heartache or a headache, I know exactly what to do. I start talking to it. I start recognizing there's a spirit behind that person. You know, there ain't a devil behind everything. But 90% of the time on a job, usually it's a demon working on somebody. In fact, I will tell you this. I do know this for a fact. Every single unsafe person has a ruling evil spirit governing their lives. You talk about having a covering in the body of Christ. They have coverings also that protect them. There's ruling spirits over these people. And the Bible says that Jesus said this. He said, except you bind the strong man first, you cannot spoil his house. But if you bind the strong man, then you can spoil his house. And you've been given authority over all the work of the darkness, all the work of the enemy. So Jesus said these words again. Let's look at them. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now let's just stop and think a minute. I just want to get the full importance of this out there. You're looking at the problem. Everybody think of the problem. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it. Looks like a big problem, doesn't it? Huge problem. See, this is why the mountain is depicted here. Because for one thing, the devil is very good at making everybody's problem look like the mountain problem. Mm-hmm. It might not be a mountain problem to me, but it's a mountain problem to you. You know why? Let me tell you why the enemy's so successful in making your problem a mountain. Because what he'll do is he'll put a floodlight on that thing. And he'll make you look at it. He'll make you think about it. He'll put it in your face. He will come to you through a phone call. It'll come to you through a television something. It'll come to you through a telegraph. The problem is in your face, and you got to think about it. And then you guess what you do? You think about it. You put the microscope on it. You put the floodlight on it, and you begin to analyze it. You begin to think about how to fix it. You begin to think about how to change it. You begin to think about, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it gets so big that it's bigger than God. Anybody know where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Because you spent time thinking about it.
Yeah, sure did.
And you've been looking at it.
Right.
And you've been analyzing it.
Yeah, sure did.
And you've been looking at it frontwise, backwards, turned it around sideways. You've tried to figure out how to fix it in every which way you could. So it's a big mountain now.
Yeah.
And it looks impossible.
Yeah.
Because it is for you in the natural. But if you will get the word on it, if you'll do what Jesus said and begin to say to the mountain, what are you saying to the mountain? By this time, it's a mountain, okay? Mm-hmm. By this time, it ain't no little molehill. It's a mountain because you've done made it a mountain. The enemy is very good at making things mountains in our lives. Mm-hmm. And brings fear and brings emotions and brings torment. And that's really got you. It's like tentacles on you, like an octopus. So then Jesus says, hey, here's the answer. Be thou removed. And be thou cast into the sea. Wouldn't it be wonderful that no matter what comes our life, we could just say, get out of here. Kick a can down the road. Get out of here. Go. Be removed. Get out of here. Wouldn't it be awesome just to walk around taking care of stuff like that? Well, that's what Jesus, exactly what he said you could do.
That's right.
That's exactly what that's saying. But see, the mountain's so big, and God looks so small. And the revelation is not really sunk into us as believers yet. I'm telling you what Jesus said. I'm just sharing the word. It's good for me too. It's preaching to me. This is preaching. This is revelation word. Be thou removed. Be thou removed. Now, do you say that out of your head? No. No. Because that's no power in your head. What did Romans 10 say? Romans 10 says, if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. We've got to unplug our tongue from our head to unhook it into our hearts. And allow your spirit man to begin to talk. Allow your spirit to have a voice. Believe it in your heart and speak out of your mouth and target that problem from your heart. Well, most folks ain't got any word in their heart. They don't have no Lord Jesus in their heart because they don't read the word. What did Jesus say about that? What did Jesus say about this? Well, they just try to figure out some religious thing. Do you have to sit back and recognize there is right and wrong thinking about everything. And if we are just religious and we start thinking in our own minds, what would Jesus do, rather than knowing what Jesus said? See, there's a big difference in knowing, thinking what Jesus would do or trying to figure out what Jesus would do. Go back to what Jesus said, because whatever Jesus said is what Jesus would do. Do you understand that it's he is equal to his word? You can't separate him from his word. He is the word of God. He was made flesh and he dwelt among us and they beheld his glory. The demon of religion You know, demon of religion is one of the strongest and hardest demons to cast out of somebody. When you've got a person that's got a religious demon on their life, you can't hardly get rid of it because they think they're right.
Yeah, it's true.
It's so true. I don't like dealing with religion because it holds people in bondage. We are spiritual beings. We're spiritual people. We're called to walk in the kingdom, which is a spiritual realm, a whole different world than this world. But if we don't understand that Jesus gives us a direct word here of what to do with your mountain. What do you do with your mountain? You speak to it. Start thinking right about it. Start talking to it. Another thing God gave me years ago was never pray your problem. Pray your answer. That helps the thinking process. That kind of puts the brakes on the bad thinking. Because when you start talking word, praying word, you find a word that covers the problem, and then you start praying the word. You hold God's word back to Him. And then you begin to speak the word to that problem. Call those things that are not as though they are. Mm-hmm. There's just, it just so changes the whole way you feel. Right. Changes the whole way you think. The mountain starts shrinking. Proverbs 3:5, the next one I've written down here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Here's your thinking involved. Your way of thinking. Your belief system. The way you've been taught. The things that have worked for you in the past. Sometimes they violate trusting in God. All I'm going to do, I'm just going to pack a gun, I'll blow their head off. Well, that's kind of not trusting in the Lord thinking. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm going to run them over. That ain't trusting in the Lord. It's not, that's leaning to your own understanding of how it worked before. But the problem is we don't know how to do this. How do you do that? How do you lean not to your own understanding when you've got a situation in front of you? How do you unplug all the past and unplug all the things that worked before for you and the things we've done in the past to go into totally trust in the Lord? I mean, totally just trust the Lord. I used to tell people, just trust the Lord. And people say, just trust the Lord. I would just want to knock them out. I mean, trust the Lord. I mean, I'm a Christian. Trust the Lord here. Are you kidding me? Where's the Lord? Never was here before. We're talking standing on the Word of God, getting radical with the Word of God, knowing that God cannot fail, knowing that God cannot lie, knowing that God is not bigger than any problem, knowing that as high as the heavens are from the earth, so is His ways above my ways and His thoughts above my thoughts. Trusting in the Lord means a lot more to me nowadays than when I first read that verse. Trusting in the Lord and leaning not to my own way of thinking is hugely different nowadays. And that's where development comes. That's where growth comes. That's when you become a mature believer.
Amen.
Because then you recognize, buddy, this is where I better trust in the Lord. The Bible says that He's a high tower. The righteous run therein and they are safe. He is a high tower. You find out He is your refuge. He is your fortress. He's your God. In Him will you trust. That's what Psalm 91 says. Run to Him. And you run to Him in your head, you run to Him in your heart, you run to Him in all your being. You trust in the Lord. Now, baby Christians, listen up, baby Christians. Any baby Christians in here? And I don't think there are. If you're facing a situation, you better run to somebody who knows how to deal with the enemy. You better go to somebody who's got more experience than you do in dealing with the devil. That's why you got to have a church. That's why so many baby Christians, their growth is stunted. They never develop. They never grow in the things of God. They get knocked out and they're left out there in the cold and there's nobody out there to help them. The sheep are bleeding. Mm-hmm. And then the bad thing is in a lot of churches, if a little baby Christian messes up and does something terrible, they're ready to kick them out.
Yeah.
They're not there to cover them. Mm-hmm. They're not there to pick them back up and restore them back into fellowship with the Lord. They're judging them. They're mean to them. They put them on the back row. Mm-hmm. They won't let them have any activity in the church. You know, Christians can be mean to their injured and wounded. And they judgmental people. Oh, my goodness. Judge you? I've been judged. I know what it is to have believers judge me. I have had to trust in the Lord. And even in the midst of fellowship with brethren, have to trust in the Lord. Well, what does the word say about this? What's the word say about that? What's the word say about it when they told me I had to take off all of my makeup and put my hair in a bun and put on a dress? What did the Lord say about that? I had to trust in the Lord on that one because they were kicking me out. They were telling me I'm going to hell. And that's the only church I knew. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost in this church. And the power of God was in this church. I had to trust in the Lord. See, I've learned to trust in the Lord and not people. They love God, but they can be wrong. People can be wrong. I can be wrong. You got to learn how to trust in the Lord. Now, you do trust people to a degree, but that's where you got to get in the Word. That's why you've got to get in the Word for yourself and trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The heart's involved here. The heart has got to be surrendered. This is the key. This is one of the keys, I believe, to the mouth and to the thinking, right? It's really trust God. Yield your life to Him. Surrender your heart. Really trust Him. It's almost exactly like a little kid that is standing on the porch. I remember my little kid's dad, "Come on, I'll catch you." And they just, without thinking, they'd fling themselves out there in the air off that porch, and they never worried about not being caught. You used to be able to swing them around in the air and flip them, and they'd laugh.
Yeah.
"You ain't doing me like that. Ain't no way you're going to do me like that. I ain't trusting you that much." But that's how you got to trust God. It's just the best way I can explain it is really trusting God. Because let me tell you something. God, when you really know Him, you'll recognize He ain't going to let you fail. His word is so powerful and so big. His word is so huge. It's just the word of God is God. And if God can fail, if His word can fail, then God can fail. That's the bottom line. But you got to know that in your heart. And not everybody can take the word and really believe it like I'm talking about. I know that some can't. In fact, Kenneth Hagin said that not everybody can accept the faith message. But that's why we're there. That's why we cover people. That's why we're here, to be a covering for the ones that are weaker and can't believe. I believe that everybody here has the ability to believe God for great things in their lives. And they have the ability to develop and know how to put the enemy, stop him in his tracks, shut his mouth. You know, you shut the devil's mouth. You know what I say? "I shut your mouth, devil. I command you to shut your mouth in the name of Jesus." And I'm speaking to the devil that's talking to that person. Anybody ever done that?
Amen.
I've done it. I do it. And it obeys me. It has to. He doesn't have a choice because I believed it in my heart and I spoke it out of my mouth. He recognizes the authority that he knows I have authority, and he recognizes that I recognize I have authority. He recognizes that I know that he has to obey me. Chapter 7, and look at verse 1. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom this should be, that he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." I mean, this centurion, Roman centurion, has more revelation than most believers have concerning Jesus and his word. I mean, really. He wasn't even born again. But he recognized something that we are missing. We're missing as the body of Christ. This centurion, look what he says. Verse 8, here's the key. "For I also," here's the word "also," "I also am a man set under authority. Words that Jesus would speak would produce something because he recognized that Jesus was also a man under authority. What authority would produce a healing on a servant that was near death? God. God would back up whatever Jesus said. God would back up every word. The centurion recognized that because he said also, didn't he? I also am a man set under authority. Just speak the word. And then he goes on and explains. He say, I say unto one, go, go. He didn't grab the guy by the hair of the head and make him go. He just spoke a word to that person. And they obeyed his word. Because he also was backed by authority of the Roman government. This Roman soldier, centurion, recognized there's a great authority backing this words of this man, Jesus. I'm not worthy, but you speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. What did he believe in his heart? He had faith in the words of Jesus, didn't he? So we've got this Bible in our lap, and we read it. And it's nice. Nice, comfortable living room. I read this word. But sometimes this word has to become Jesus to me. Sometimes this word has to become the authority in my life. Sometimes I have to take this word as if Jesus was right here present, and I've got to speak that word. And I have to say, go. I have to speak a word only to a problem. And I have to know that the authority that's backing that word is going to back me as I speak it. Let that sink in a minute. Folks never get to that level of faith. Because it's not faith in me. It's not faith in my words, but it's faith in God's word that he's given me the right to use. I can speak to a mountain. What am I speaking to it? I'm speaking the Lord Jesus. I'm believing it in my heart, and I'll be saved. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You speak to your mountains. You use the word. When I had the Bell's palsy attack me, and they told me I would be like that maybe forever, the Lord gave me a word. He gave me several words. And I began to speak it out of my heart and speak, and I spoke directly to the attack. I spoke to the mountain. It didn't have a chance. It didn't have a chance. It couldn't be a mountain very long. Your problem can't be a problem very long if you'll just take the word of God and speak to it. It'll shrink and shrink. It's amazing how little it'll become. Because the more real the word is in your life, the more Jesus is real, the more real he is, the more time you spend fellowshipping with him, the more time you get acquainted with him, the more time you worship him. I tell you what, the greatest thing is just worshiping. Once you've spoken to your mountain, then just praise him for it. Praise him that he's turning it around. Praise him that he's doing a work in that. Get excited about it. Worship him in it. Worship him in the word. Somebody's getting this morning.
Amen.
Somebody's seeing this. Meditate on this. Meditate on this centurion's words, what he said. And so he says, come, and he cometh unto my servant, do this, and he doeth it. No problem. No problem. Police officer out there directing traffic when the lights are broken. Do you think cars really pay attention to that man? He's just a person. But they stop when he puts up the hand because they recognize the authority back. Recognize that the badge gives him special place. See, the enemy sees you. He knows you've been given a badge of authority. You've been given the name of Jesus. You've been given legal rights to speak the word. It's as if Jesus is here speaking the word. Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. The last chapter of Matthew. 28. 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, or all power, but really it should be translated authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Remember, he says in one place that he's been highly exalted above every name in heaven and in earth. In Philippians, it talks about it. Talks about it in Ephesians. You study the word. You've read it. There's nothing over Jesus. He's been so highly exalted. I mean, he's the name above every name. And then what he says here, all authority is given unto me, the name above every name in heaven and earth. And then he says, go you therefore. So what am I doing? Go? You're just going to send me out like a helpless little lamb among wolves that would eat me up? You're sending me out here to deal with devils and people who hate you and they crucified you. You're sending me out there with them? What am I doing? Well, he said, you go and you preach. If he just said, go preach, I'd say, excuse me? But look what he said, the therefore. The therefore is there for some reason. He's talking about the authority. Because I've got authority, you go therefore. Mm-hmm. He's delegating authority to the body of Christ. He's got all the authority, but there is no devil in heaven. Newsflash, no sickness in heaven, no poverty in heaven. He's got all the authority, but why would he not share it with the body who needs it here? While he was here, he dealt with devils, didn't he? The Bible says in John, in 1 John, he says, he that walks, says he walks with him ought to walk as he walked. That's what Jesus would do. He'd cast devils out. He wouldn't walk sick. Did Jesus walk sick? Mm-mm. You know, a lot of things we put up with just because it's easier to do it. Mm-hmm. It's easier just to put up with stuff. Easier to go get glasses or get contacts. Easier to go get to the doctor. Just easier. Because this applies, this living like this is effort, living out of the spirit. We always want to gravitate to easy. The flesh will always go to easy. But if you really want to step into the challenge of what God says you can do, to go therefore, mm-hmm. Let's go therefore, because I've been given all authority. You can go now. And you can preach. And you can teach. And look what he says. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What did he command you? He commands you to say to your mountain. That's right. I believe that's a command. Whosoever shall say to the mountain. Not that you might do it, but you can. Go back to our notes real quick here, and I'm getting ready to close. Y'all... 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. Now, who's doing the casting down, I wonder? Do you know what? I can tell you for a fact that the longer you serve God and the more you study his word, that you'll get this word in you to a place where if there's an opposing word that comes to your mind, you will automatically, kick it out. It's kind of like if somebody came up to you and said, Satan is Lord. Well, you just immediately, a part of your brain would just reject that. Mm-hmm. No problem, right?
Right.
He's smart. So he only brings thoughts to you that he mm-hmm. thinks you'll believe.
That's it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he only brings something he thinks you'll entertain.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the word, then you'll cast it down.
That's right.
You'll just cast that down. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But some baby Christians will entertain things that are not true. They just don't know. They haven't built that wall of spiritual wall up yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to show one more thing to you before we move on. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I will never forget the day that I'm sitting at my kitchen table and I'm crying and I'm begging. Anybody ever beg God for something? Oh God, mm-hmm. I just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. How do I make this happen? I don't understand. Oh God, I mean, just beg and cry and claw and scratch and just struggle. And I'm doing the best I can. I'm just telling you, I know. I've been through a lot. And we're human beings. But I had a word from God. And my son, who's 38 now, he's on a high chair. He's in a little baby high chair. He's 2 years old. Maybe not even 2 years old, but I'm feeding him food. I'm at my table crying, just frustrated. And understand this word. I'm reading it, reading it, reading it, reading it. How many times can you read something? You know? And I'm struggling to try to get this word and understand it, and it doesn't make any sense at all. And King James is not easy to read, period, anyway. And then all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me, and he said, it's right here. And I read it, and he says, this is the covenant. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law. What? I? What do you mean, I'll put? He just jumped out at me. I'll put my law. I'll put my law into their minds. Covenant. Covenant. I kind of know a little bit about covenant. Okay, little light's coming to me about covenant. Okay, this is a big deal here. And God says, this is a covenant. I'm going to put my word. God's talking to me. God's talking to me. And he says, I will do this. Because I'm trying to do it, right? Mm-hmm. He says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Wow. God is talking to me in my kitchen, northeastern Kentucky. I'm only been saved a few weeks. Telling me, relax. Relax. I'm in covenant with you. There's a blood covenant. I'm obligated to you. I died for you. You belong to me. I'm going to write my word. I will do this. You just got to believe it. You just got to receive it. And then you got to exercise it. Your part is the speaking and the confessing. The believing and confessing is your part. God, this is God's part of the covenant. Do you see this? Mm-hmm. I will write my word in your mind and your heart. What are you going to do with it once he gets it in your heart? You're going to believe it and you're going to speak it. Right. Once it gets in there, you got to let God put it in there. Mm-hmm. And then he made me look at my little boy. I went to all the trouble to go to the store and heat all this food up and put it on a plate. Is he excited about that? Mm-hmm. Playing in it. He's smearing it in his hair. Mm-hmm. I got to force it in his mouth. He's spitting it back out. He's throwing it in the floor. I'm sure that's how we are to God. Mm-hmm. He's trying his very best to get his word into us. Mm-hmm. He's doing everything he can. He's flying airplanes. Get it in you. And I saw that as plain as day. It was dropped into me as a revelation I'm sharing today. That God said, I am in covenant. He can't fail covenant. He cannot lie. And he says, I will write this word in your heart. Now, he's not going to overwhelm you. Would you cram a steak down a two-year-old child? No. He's going to feed you what you can handle. He's going to put in you, in your mind and your heart, what you can chew on. And it's up to you to get it in your mouth and chew it and swallow it. And then he said this to me. He said, that baby does not think about growing. That baby's not struggling with his food. He's enjoying it. That baby is enjoying food. He doesn't think about legs grow, become strong. Am I an inch taller, Mom? None of that's in his mind. He's just being a baby. And we can trust God to do what he said he would do. But then when he gives you a revelation what you're supposed to do, that's when you can become spiritual muscles, flexing your spiritual legs. And it is an exciting thing to be a believer. But it's very important to stay close to the covering that God has put in your life. Very important. And don't try to get out here and be super before you're ready to be.
Right.
Does this help somebody?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so it just took so much pressure off me. And to this day, 37 years later, 36, 5 years later, I was thanking the Lord for that. I was just thanking him. God, thank you that you revealed that to me. That I'm seeking you. I don't have to struggle. You're going to write it. And I tell you what, I've known he's dropped things in me to this day. He's dropping things into me. Mm-hmm. And those are things I need so that I can speak to mountains. Mm-hmm. Take your notes. Take these and study them. Mm-hmm. Read them. Meditate on these words, because they're life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. I just seal this word today. I seal this word, Father. I cover them. I cover them, God. You said I did. And you cover me. You cover Grace Fellowship. There's an anointing here that covers. Father, ultimately, Lord, you are our covering. We thank you for who's moving here. We thank you for your grace that's here. We ask you to bless your children. Let them go forth and be blessed. Let them be prosperous in everything they do this week. I cover them, God. I cover them with a special anointing of prosperity and blessing and a bounty. I call things will abound toward them, that all grace will abound toward them, that they always have all sufficiency and all things, that they abound to every good work. We abound to every good work in this house, that nothing's missing, nothing broken. Shalom, shalom over their lives. And I thank you for this, Father. I send them forth in peace and joy in the things of God, growth and development and power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen.